Some healthcare workers are on the fence about COVID-19 vaccines.
I think there will be more that will jump on the vaccination bandwagon as they see the lack of adverse effects they were initially fearful of.
That's Ryan Taylor with Green Tree Pharmacy. I'm Dana Vollmer, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Friday, January 8th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the first COVID vaccines being delivered to nursing homes in McLean County. Eric Stock reports many healthcare workers refuse to take it. Others won't have much of a choice.
Ryan Taylor is assistant director of Green Tree Pharmacy. It handles pharmacy services for Heritage Health, a senior care operation that has close to 50 facilities in Illinois. Taylor says 90% of Heritage residents have taken the vaccine through the first rounds of clinics, but staff vaccination rates are only 65%.
The residents trying to convince them of the value of this vaccine, it has not been a hard sell at all. It's been a tougher sell with staff, and I think that's the norm across the country that we're seeing in healthcare systems.
Heritage Health in Bloomington started its vaccination clinic for its skilled care residents on Tuesday, but the facility in Normal will have to wait 2 weeks to get its first round of vaccines. Westminster Village in Bloomington started vaccinating staff and residents on Wednesday. Those in independent living are not included in the priority group. Westminster's Chief Operating Officer Matt Reel says all staff will be required to get the vaccine unless they have a medical or religious exemption.
This is our duty to the residents that we serve, and if this can help get us to a place of better visitation and protection and allowing people with, you know, that connection to family, friends, and community, that's what we're called to do.
Reel says he expects nearly full compliance. He says residents will be encouraged but not required to get the vaccine. Ryan Taylor at Green Tree Pharmacy says Heritage won't require anyone to get the vaccine, but he expects people may ease their objections over time.
I think there will be more that will jump on the vaccination bandwagon as they see the lack of adverse effects they were initially fearful of.
Taylor says Heritage has spread out each of its vaccination clinics over 3 days to encourage first-day skeptics to reconsider. And vaccinations continue for healthcare workers across McLean County. OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington reports it has given more than 1,100 vaccine doses. Carl Broman Medical Center is approaching 1,000 doses. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The Bloomington Normal NAACP says the police response to an insurrection led by pro-Trump extremists in Washington shows the double standard that exists in law enforcement. Congressman Adam Kinzinger became the first Republican lawmaker to call for invoking the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office following Wednesday's violence. And IDOT is hosting a virtual public information meeting next Thursday to get feedback on proposed changes to the intersection of Veterans Parkway and Empire Street in Bloomington. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Illinois State University's new athletics director says the pandemic could have some lasting effects on college sports. Kyle Brennan tells Eric Stock athletic departments have found efficiencies that could remain even when fans are filling arenas and stadiums once again.
I can't wait for that day. And when we can get fans back and when we can have life somewhat normal. I think what we're going to do is, from my standpoint, is hopefully take some of the things that we've learned out of this and use them moving forward. For example, I think there's a lot of savings that can be made in the way that we meet and interact with each other. Now, for me, there's nothing that replaces the personal and in-person kind of meetings and meeting with folks one-on-one and getting to see them. But I think there's a lot of opportunity we've learned from Zoom and other things to make our lives a little better. So I think it's trying to capture the things that we've learned out of Zoom, out of the pandemic to the best of our advantage. But what it looks like exactly when it ends, not really sure.
So it sounds like you're talking about travel costs being reduced. Where would that be reduced?
Well, you know, there's tons of meetings that take place, and you know, you go to the NCAA meetings, you go to the conference meetings. There's all different types of things that occur over long distances, and I think that there's some savings that could be had there.
Of course, coaches are all about needing to build and maintain relationships through their recruiting, through the coaches they hire, et cetera. Can there be any savings there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've talked to some coaches who think it's actually been quite nice to recruit during the pandemic. They can get the family on the phone, have a Zoom, and they feel they accomplish just as much as they do sometimes as going in person in a visit. Now, that's not the same for every coach, but I would look for some of that maybe across the industry as we move forward to limit some of the travel, limit some of the recruiting. I mean, there are some sports that really have no what we call dead periods. So essentially, they're allowed to recruit all year. And so I think putting some limits on some of those would be some cost savings that we could do. Obviously, you can't stop competition travel because we need to do that. But the recruiting travel might be a possibility industry-wide, but we'll all have to analyze that as we go.
Will budget cuts or program cuts be necessary as you work through this difficult time where fans are not able to come to games?
Yeah, budget cuts are not in our plan. For us, I've got to come in and understand the budget. I've got to come in and understand the revenues that are coming in and expenses that we have, and I have not had the chance to do that. So I can't honestly answer that question fully because I don't know the finances yet, but I can tell you that my expectation is to come in and try and find ways to avoid those things. So my mindset is not about cuts. It's about how can we improve.
Fans are eager, of course, to return to live sports, but even pre-pandemic attendance wasn't where the university wanted it to be, and maybe this is a problem across college athletics. How do you get more fans in the stands once it's safe to do so again?
Yeah, I think that's a great question because, you know, there are a lot of alternatives for our fans to engage and to watch, but I don't think anything replaces being in person, and I think selling experiences and moving forward, I think that's going to be important for us. Hopefully post-pandemic, I think people are going to be excited for the opportunity to return to congregate and to be together.
That was new ISU Athletics Director Kyle Brennan talking with Eric Stock. He replaces Larry Lyons, who is retiring after 33 years with the university. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.